In the ongoing effort to avoid commercials on our show, we bring you a commercial from us. My subby and I have created a boutique adult toy store on my website. We have handpicked items that are low cost and show up on your doorstep with all of your other Amazon packages. Make sure, though, that you open them, not your kids. Go to kristenkellogg.com or find the link in the notes of this episode. We will get a percentage of the sales from the items exclusively on my storefront. You get some special items to enhance your FLR, and we all win without a stupid-ass commercial.
And eventually, it was like, just through conversation and hints that, you know, I didn't take very well, that didn't register, that he wanted to go down this path. And we started out actually with me being the submissive. And the one day he tied me in the chair. This is actually was the turning point. He tied me in the chair, and how, after all the work of putting me in this thing, I went, I want out.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences only. If you are not 18 years of age or older, there are thousands of other podcasts you can listen to, and you can come back and visit us when you are 18. This podcast is meant solely for entertainment. We are not licensed doctors, lawyers, or therapists. We simply have a fascination with the lifestyle and a love to share it with you and get your thoughts and opinions.
Hey everyone, join me on my journey from living a 100% vanilla life to tiptoeing into a whole new world I never knew existed. Exploring a life that puts a whole new spin on sex and its meaning to me. From chastity devices and cuckolding to my experiences and the lifestyle. I have met some amazing people and had some crazy experiences and learned a lot about myself along the way. Welcome to Christine's FLR Podcast.
Tell me a little bit about your dynamic and like what you guys are currently active in or if there, you know, things like that.
I'm Miss Stacy, and I live a FLR matriarch cuckold lifestyle with my subby hubby. He takes care of me, does all the pretty much dirty work around our home and in our office. We do work together, and you know, he can get me coffee, and it's kind of like having your personal servant no matter where you go and what you do.
Brilliant.
It's a lot of fun. And yeah, between our lifestyle that we live and the business that we run, we're pretty active in the whole situation.
How long have you guys been together?
We have been together for 35 years, married for 33 next month.
Congrats.
And doing this lifestyle a good portion of it.
Were you guys in the lifestyle prior to meeting each other? I mean, 33 years, you guys must have been pretty young.
Well, I was pretty young. He robbed the cradle. I'm quite a bit younger.
So did my subby.
So were we in the lifestyle? We were more, I was living a alternative lifestyle, not necessarily of an FLR or cuckolding or anything, but I would go out to the bars, hang out with my friends, and depending on which bar I was in that night, to who I went home with. So I had somebody in each bar that if they were there and I was there, that's who I went home with that night.
Nice.
So kind of in a roundabout way, I guess you could say I was doing it, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
PJ is the one that brought it forward and in our lifestyle. And I kind of went, oh, well, that kind of fits me the way we went.
Well, and that is a great question in itself, because a lot of people ask, you know, how do I introduce this to my partner? Like my subby is the one that brought it up to me or that introduced me to everything. And I don't know that he necessarily did it the correct way. I mean, in the end it worked out, but I mean, how did PJ bring it up to you?
Well, it actually was more in the swinging side. Mm-hmm. We started going to a club here in Calgary, and then we started just going through that process. Mm-hmm. And then it advanced into going to different DS events and this is like way back when, there used to be bizarre balls and fetish parties. And we went to all of that just through conversation and hints that, you know, I didn't take very well. that didn't register that he wanted to go down this path. And we started out actually with me being the submissive. And the one day he tied me in the chair. This is actually was the turning point. He tied me in the chair, and we had this funky chair I got tied into. And how after all the work of putting me in this thing, I went, I want out. And I got, why? Because I want to. And the answer was, I want to beat your ass.
Yeah.
And that was the turning point, and that's where we went.
Do you think that you're a better dominant because you were submissive first?
I'm going to say yes. Yeah, I do.
I would agree.
And it's so that, and even today, even though I'm on the dominant side, if there's something new I want to do, depending on what it is, I mean, I can't do cuck and bull torture.
Right.
Have it done to me. That's a bit of a problem, but.
Right. Accurate.
But, you know, if you've got a new implement or something you want to try, I like to have it try. I like to try it to see what it's going to feel like. So I can, when I know I deliver it, I know what it's going to feel like.
It's so interesting that you said that, because for the longest time, I really, 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 really struggled with beating my subby's ass. Like, I mean, you know, using tools and implements and things on him. And we were at one of our local stores or something in town, and we were in the horse section.
And
we bought a section. Yes, we bought a riding crop. And I was like, ooh, okay, let's try this. I want you to hit me with it, or I want you to spank me with this. And that was like a huge turning point for me. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Now I want to do it to you. And it's just really kind of been nonstop since then. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I think truly there's a turning point in all of us where it sets that trigger off, and you kind of go, okay, I got this. I get it. I like it. I'm going to go do it now. In the meantime, I think we do struggle. We do try and find that okay with it kind of situation, because we have the feeling of we're raised to be, you know, you're supposed to be there for everybody. You're supposed to work with everybody. You're supposed to take care of everybody, be the nurturer, you know, the mother, the loving, caring one. And so when it turns to you want me to discipline you, and you want me, but you're supposed to be my support. But once you understand that you're still doing all that, you're just doing it in a different fashion.
Right.
At that point. And it's still love. It's just love delivered in a different manner. And I think it truly puts us in a better, calmer position when we do it in our life.
Oh, I agree. I mean, since the uptick in us participating in that on a regular basis, it's a huge stress reliever. Like, I can tell we haven't done it in a while because my husband's been traveling, but it is a huge stress reliever. And I think it really just took me seeing it from a different perspective. Like, I needed to understand that he needed this and I needed it too. I think the me needing it too was the part that really, really surprised me. I understood how it was therapeutic for him. It was crazy how it was therapeutic for me.
I think it makes us so stronger people.
I agree.
As individuals, and not in the, you know, like, oh, I'm the dom kind of stronger, but just as a person overall, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I think it makes us a stronger person. And it kind of, if it completes you, it completes you, and you need to, and I know that's cliche, but it's a true statement. And I know many women, I do a female led group here where we live, and in person one, and we do, they've all said the same thing. It kind of makes me a whole person as long as I'm doing this. If I'm not doing this, I feel like there's something that should be present that isn't present on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I feel lost.
So on that note too, do you guys have like a morning ritual, like something that PJ recites to every morning, like good morning goddess or anything like that? Do you guys have any type of ritual or things like that that you guys do on the regular?
So we do. When we get up in the morning, I do not make coffee. My coffee is made. It is served to me and my feet are kissed every morning.
Like, does that happen even on, I assume, because you are human beings, that you have your off days, like even days that maybe you're just not feeling the dynamic that day or whatever, it's not ramped up or whatever, that happens anyway, right? Like, does your day feel off if it doesn't?
Yes. It's every day. And when we get home after being out and about, no matter, you know, especially during a work day, but it happens no matter when we arrive home, he removes my shoes and kisses my feet to welcome back into the door. And that kind of sets that tone for coming back into that world again, mm-hmm. into our home mm-hmm. again. I mean, we're always in that world because when we're out and about, he opens my car doors and he opens all the doors, not just the car door. He carries my bags if I have bags. He, you know, pulls out my chair, well, sort of more or less. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he does. There are things that happen that are happening all the time, even though we're not in our home. You know, in the office here, I can say, you know, I need a coffee, and he'll go, oh, do you want one? And I'm like, and the answer will be yes. And he'll go get me one. Mm-hmm. That's just one of the little dynamics that we do. But yeah, there it happens regularly.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's one of the things that I try to talk about or try to bring up on the podcast, because a lot of communication that I get from people that are wanting to start this lifestyle, they feel like it's a lot of work, or the man doesn't know how to be submissive and thinks that, you know, he has to do these big grand gestures. But really, at the end of the day, it's really the simple little things like, you know, getting you the coffee, kissing your feet. And even if your wife isn't into that, you know, getting the coffee, opening the doors, all the things like that are yep. so important. And it's really pretty simple to do at the end of the day.
Right. And even if you're out for the evening or the day, or you're somewhere, helping put her coat on, hold mm-hmm. her coat. Mm-hmm. So she puts it on. It's to everybody else, it's just a polite gesture, but to the two of you, it actually means something. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so those little things that people don't know, or if you're out at an event, and no matter what your event is, whether it be a concert or whatever, get her the drink. Bring it to her. Don't expect her to get up and go get it. People just think you're being nice, mm-hmm. but really mm-hmm. you're doing servitude even though you're out and about. We've been at other people's houses and we've had dinner and PJ's gotten up and picked up the dishes. That's actually part of his chores and what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I have one girlfriend that when he does it all the time, it's taken her a little bit to get used to that. Mm-hmm. She said to me, she goes, that took a while to get used to. She says, but now I kind of like it.
Right? Right. So I think women by nature are nurturers and, yes. you know, they feel like they need to take care of their husband or their spouse, and they feel like they're failing or not performing or being a good wife because they're having their husband do these things. So I think, you know, I try to mention that on the podcast, and it's nice to hear that other people, you know, like there's other people living this dynamic that also, you know, have right. their submissive, or these are just simple little things that your submissive can do to show his devotion to you.
Right. And I started viewing it in the terms of that he was doing these things for me, which actually freed up my time to do things that I wanted to do. So, you know, there's some things I needed to learn in regards to our business. Well, it's giving me that time to go and learn those things and not worry about that the dishes are piled up in the sink and that the laundry needs to be done and somebody's mm-hmm. got to go make the bed. And so those things have all... It's been great that way because it's giving me that freedom to learn, to read, and to understand all the other stuff that go with what else I do. Mm-hmm. And it also mm-hmm. gives me the time. I take that time to do self-care. So, you know, we may have just finished dinner and I'll get up and go, you know, you need to do the dishes, and whatever other chores might need to be done at that time. And then I'll go into the bathroom and do a mask on my face. Or, you know, do a pedicure and a manicure, or do something that's for me, even mm-hmm. though he does the other work. So it allows me that freedom as well to have that time, which is really crucial and important to me. And the older I'm getting, the more important I'm realizing I need that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So it's given me lots of opportunity and to learn more about being in the lifestyle mm-hmm. and to keep me always, you know, reading. And so I'll just go watch a YouTube, or I'll just go watch a movie or that. But it generally pertains back to what I want to learn or what I want to know. And so it gives me that freedom to learn. But yet he's still doing what I require. And if he doesn't do it the way I want it done, then there's still the stuff that goes with that. There's a little discipline and, you know, there's a corner that you might get to stand in. And you have to remember, too, that punishment doesn't have to be crazy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be wild. It can be a simple, you didn't do that right, do it again, or whatever it might be that encourages that stuff to progress.
That's so interesting that you said that too. That was one of the areas that I struggled with a lot was, well, two areas. One, I like things done a certain way. And of course, my subby doesn't ever do it my way. So then it's the wrong way, right? Because my way is obviously the right way. But the punishments, like I struggled a long time with what do I do to punish him because he likes the spankings and the things like that. And the holding the quarter or the coin against the wall was one of the things that came up. And you have to kind of get creative, but it really doesn't take, I mean, you just have to simplify your thoughts. Don't overcomplicate it.
And that's the key thing. One of my favorite things is not the quarter on the wall. I take dirty panties and how he has to hold them with his nose on the wall.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Now he gets to smell what he doesn't get.
That is brilliant. That's smart.
It's fun. It.
Yes, that sounds fun. I'm going to implement that the next time that something comes up.
I never have a quarter or anything to put on the wall. So.
You always have dirty panties.
I always have a pair of dirty panties somewhere.
Accurate. You guys also, you said you participate in cuckolding, but do you also practice chastity, correct?
We do. Yes.
And how long?
24/7 all the time.
And you guys have been doing that for how long? How many years?
I like to say I know because it's been a number of years. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I thought so. Who introduced chastity or the idea of chastity to who? Did he bring it to you or did you bring it to him?
He brought it up. He brought it up.
It's right on brand. It's always the man and nobody believes that.
Yeah, no, he actually brought it up and it took me a bit to get my head wrapped around it, but mm-hmm, now it's there and it's fun. It's a way I had to learn to accept it that one of the hardest things that I had to deal with was learning that sex can be done in a different format. It didn't have to be penetration. Mm-hmm. And that was really, that was something I struggled with because mm-hmm, that was always what I thought. And it's really funny because I'm not exactly the hugest penetration girl. I can have sex and have just as much fun and crazy with no penetration.
Yeah.
So I had to, but I had to learn that this doesn't have to have penetration. It doesn't have to be there all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once I got that through my head, it made a difference.
I get a lot of people too that are like the men will bring it up to their partners and the partner's like, well, why would I do that? I'm denying myself. But, you know, you take it off when you want to take it off. You have all the sex you want. You're in control of it. And then, you know, also what you said, it's totally different. You think of sex a different way. You think of intimacy a totally different way. It doesn't have to be the PIV or penis in vagina for anybody that doesn't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, I mean, it's kind of hot. You know what
it's
I mean?
Very
once,
hot.
Once you wrap your head around that, like the different ways to be intimate with your partner. I mean, there's so many ways to connect without actually having the penis in vagina sex. I mean, there's so many different ways.
I mean, I'm a huge face sitter. That is like my thing. Mm-hmm. And it covers so many different areas. Everything from breath right through to the smell and to the whole nine yards that goes with that. And that's one of my favorite things. And we've discovered that through this whole process. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't need your cock anymore because now I got your face and that's better.
Right. You guys are obviously pretty open about your dynamic and what you participate in and things like that. Can you think of what is specifically pertaining to chastity? What is one of the most crazy comments or reactions that you've gotten to somebody when you tell them that you practice chastity?
I don't know if it's crazy or what, but I do get, why on earth would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
That is the common, it's common. Like, mm-hmm, that's what you get. Like, why? Why would you not want to fuck him?
Don't you trust him? Do you get that one?
No, I don't actually get that one. I normally get, why wouldn't you want to fuck him? Mm. But, you know, and then I just go, because I got this guy over here.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about the cuckolding.
I am not missing out.
Absolutely. How long have you guys been participating in cuckolding?
Probably 5 or 6 years, maybe more.
And I mean,
maybe more. It's probably happened all along and I didn't even realize it, to be honest.
And did he bring that up to you or did you bring that up to him?
I think he brought it up to me. He pretty much brought up everything, but then, you know, and of course, you know, they do it in such a manner that they're like, how is she going to react? Is she going to freak out? And at first you do, yeah. I did, I was kind of like, what the hell's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. But then once I got my head wrapped around it and got it figured out, it's like, okay, I'm gone.
Right. So for the cuckolding aspect of your dynamic, is it he is present or you go do your thing, a little bit of both?
It's a mix of everything, but I would say probably majority of the time he's not present. Or he's somewhere in not far, like in the vicinity, depending on where we are and what we're doing. So, but majority of the time he's not present. He gets the aftermath.
Yes. I like it so much. I know exactly what that means.
That's the best part.
Makes my little heart go pitter patter. A lot of people have a lot of negativity towards cuckolding and things like that. Like they can't understand why you would want your spouse to sleep with someone else or whatever. When you talk about that dynamic, do you get, I mean, is it the similar response? Like, why would you do that? Or why would you want your wife to do that? Or
yes and no. So we're pretty fortunate that a lot of the people that we are around and present around and who are in our life actually are in the same, live the same lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're in, they live this situation and they actually live it. It's not, they don't pretend, they do. I have one girlfriend that the story she tells that she does to her partner, I just stand there rubbing my hands together going, oh my God, I love this. So we're very fortunate that majority of the people around us know. Those that don't know and hear us chatting about it, or they get wind of what's going on, I honestly don't care what they think.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'm at the point where I don't care what you think because it's not your life. This is my life. And we're happy and we're not hurting anybody. We're respecting each other. Mm-hmm. And those that are part of our life that are close to us in an intimate fashion, you know, our other partners or people that we play with, are they get it.
Yeah.
They understand and they are full aware of our dynamic and that they are actually part of that dynamic without being part of that dynamic.
Sure.
In some case.
So do you, when you are interacting with a bull or whatever, do you go out in public with them, or is it more of just an intimate one-on-one private thing, or?
Depends on the bull.
Yeah.
Depends on who it is. The one I'm seeing tonight, it'll be intimate, private. Mm-hmm. My other one that we're working through the dynamics of it. Mm-hmm. He will be definitely in public. It will be a whole part of my life.
Interesting about that. Do you then, I mean, do you feel like you're crossing over into some sort of polyamory relationship or just, I mean, if you had to put a label to it, and you sure fucking don't, because I hate labels, but.
I know, I don't do labels either.
It's always the question, you know what I mean? Like.
But yes.
When do you cross over from being just cuckolding to being polyamory or ethically not, and I hate the word ethically, non-monogamous. Like, fuck, you're just non-monogamous and that's a choice you both made. But I just wonder, where do you get to that point where it crosses over into something more than cuckolding, or do you just not give a shit and you go with the flow?
I'm a don't give a shit, go with the flow, do what feels right kind of person, but to label it, we're definitely crossing into polyamory.
Would this be your first time crossing into that?
Oh, no. We've done this before. Yeah. So there was another individual a number of years ago, and we went out in public together and we did stuff together and with and without PJ and his partner, and it was great. And then him and his, unfortunately, the other couple had some dynamics that didn't work out very well, so it just ended everything. So that's life. It was a great experience and it was a lot of fun, and you know, it lasted for about a year, and so that was fantastic, and it was the first taste of it. But it's funny because I have always felt, even in my younger years, even in my teenage years, that this is where I wanted to be. This was the right spot for me. So I kind of always knew. It's just taken a long time to get it to where it needed to be.
it takes a lot of growing. I mean, I probably could say the same thing about my youth. I think I've always been kind of a dominant, but I would have never had the maturity level to really experience that. I think I had to do all the growing to get to the point.
I think so. I agree with that. Like, I agree with that, that you have to go through all the phases to get to that end result.
Well, and I think even when you were, I mean, even in my 20s, because I didn't meet my husband until I was in my 30s. And I think even if he would have came to me in my 20s, this would have ended far differently. Like, I don't know that I would have been even in my 20s, if I would have been ready enough. Does PJ get to play, or does he have any, or is he not allowed to have other partners? What does that look like for you guys?
It's all been based on just what it is at that time. So he's generally been monogamous to me. He has had other partners off and on. He is more, at this point, he's more monogamous to me than anything. You know, he will do things for other people or help other people within the realm of our life. We're kind of, as I said, we're kind of like cat out of the bag. We've had conversations and been growing a relationship with another individual who, this dynamic will participate more in that, with that dynamic for sure. We'll have to do another interview and see how that all pans out.
Yes. I'm dying because I kind of have been in a similar situation, and I don't feel that I've handled it probably in the best way. And there's been a lot of, I overthink the shit out of everything. And I guess we've kind of struggled on navigating, and we definitely didn't go too fast, because it was like a 4-year thing, you know, of it coming into fruition. But it's like a whole thing. And I feel like I'm failing epically at how I manage everything. You know, I genuinely, like, I love this other person. Like, I have strong emotional feelings for this other person, and my subby's aware, but just navigating through it, I'm like, I don't know that my brain can handle this, and I feel like I'm doing everything wrong. So it's just interesting to hear how other couples navigate. I mean, it just so happens that this other couple is our best friends. You know what I mean? They're like our family.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I'm hypersensitive to, I don't want to hurt her because she's like my best friend, and she's more on board and okay with everything. It's really me holding up the show, and I don't know how to fix whatever's going on in my brain. Like, I don't know how to get to that point.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's the toughest part, is getting to that point. I think for me personally, it was just letting go. Just letting it all go and going, this feels right. And let's see where this lands. This will either be a disaster on the other side, or it's going to be one hell of a ride for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And I think I keep thinking too, you know, I'm so worried that I'm going to ruin the friendship, but we're all very good for the most part at communicating. I mean, not always, because it's sometimes navigating through hard conversations, but I don't know. I need to let go on so many levels.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly it is.
Absolutely. As far as you take time for self-care, for YouTube videos or whatever, while PJ's doing the things that need to be done around the house and things like that, would you say that your relationship has evolved significantly from when you started? Or would you have any, I guess maybe a better question would be, would you have any tips for anybody that's starting out on their female-led journey?
Well, it's definitely evolved. It's definitely grown. It's definitely changed. I've grown and changed as a person. I know PJ has grown and changed as a person. You know, again, it's one of the hardest things to do, but don't try and compartmentalize it. Don't try and give it a name. Just let it flow, let it be, and embrace it and enjoy it. And start small. You're not going to be standing there in leathers with a whip right off the bat.
It's so funny that you say that. Okay, so we've been to some podcast conventions recently, and it's interesting because I was probably one of the most niche podcasts there, right? Like my podcast is kind of way out there compared to, there are some sex podcasters, but there was really no podcasters that talked about specifically what I talked about. So we had to do a meet and greet and I would talk about my podcast, right? Or I would, you know, introduce myself, talk about what my podcast is about. And immediately people hear female-led relationship or that I'm a dominant woman and they automatically go to it's whips and chains and handcuffs and I'm clad in leather and, you know, all the things. And another thing that I've noticed is people automatically assume that cuckolding and female-led relationships are one and the same.
Yeah, no, they're not.
No.
Because you and people have to understand that you can do, and that's another thing. People don't get that you can do an FLR without having the BDSM side, right? And I mean, for me, it would be, I could do it, but it probably wouldn't be right for me as a person. But I know there's some stuff on YouTube I was watching here a while ago, and they were an FLR, and there was no mention of any DS mixed into that relationship at all. And but she was talking about that she did absolutely, she made all the decisions in their world and in their life, and but he took care of her in so many levels, and they were both happy with that.
And I think I say that all the time too. I mean, you have to make this relationship what you want it to be. A female led or female centered relationship is really just about that. It's about your relationship and how things work. Then you add in other things like cuckolding or chastity or whatever else. Those are just additions. Like, you don't have to have those to be in an active female-led relationship. And you sure don't have to call it a female-led relationship.
No. No, you can call it whatever you want.
Thank you so much for listening today. I genuinely appreciate your time. If you happen to have any questions, all of my contact information is in the show notes of this and every episode. Don't hesitate to reach out. Also, in the show notes, there is a link to my Patreon, where your support is incredibly appreciated. Patrons have access to advanced and extra content from this and other podcasts that we produce, FLR consulting via messages and video, and input on the production of each podcast. There is also a link to my OnlyFans page. My fans on that platform have access to almost daily posts of photos and videos of me and me torturing my subby, full and sample erotic audios, and other posts. OnlyFans is now the safe place where you can order custom erotic audios, videos, and photos. Mention that you heard it on this podcast for a 10% discount. Most importantly, though, if you have the option to rate and review my podcast on the platform you listen to it on, please do. Good ratings and reviews help boost my podcast in the charts so that more and more people are able to hear what I have to say about the lifestyle. Until next week, be good to yourself and each other.